We'll start this morning in John chapter 10. And when we go there in John chapter 10, we'll start along about verse 10. I'm reminded of a church in West Carrollton called Abundant Life Baptist Church. And they were all about the abundant life. The pastor there was all about praying down God's blessings and enjoying the abundant life. And by misusing Scripture, he had his group very poorly oriented toward the real world.
Yes.
One of the Scriptures that that particular gentleman chose to misuse almost was the end of his entire ministry. Because he used the verse to greet one another with an holy kiss as something they ought to be doing, and saw many very clumsy looking things going on in the assembly. There were a couple of, if you know what I mean, cougars that really warmed up to that approach and greeting one another with an holy kiss. Well, got out of hand. Thinking that you're living this as the abundant life gets out of hand very easily. And in John chapter 10, you read in verse 10 that the thief cometh not for to steal, but to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and then they might have it more abundantly. So the good shepherd, he comes to the sheep to give life for the sheep. And it's sad that Christianity thinks of itself as sheep in a sheepfold, when clearly we ought to be the new creature, the church, which is his body, rather than going around saying, bah, we ought to be proclaiming Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
But the abundant life is clearly a teaching in the Bible that has many verses to substantiate it, because after all, he's pointing toward the kingdom, and that is the focus of Scripture, is Christ ruling on earth in the kingdom, focus of the Scripture, save for the part that Jesus gives to the Apostle Paul, and Paul gives to us, that being the revelation of the mystery. In John chapter 10, you see the abundant life and giving his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So the pastors who consider themselves under shepherds over the sheepfold will point to the churches they don't like and say, that guy's an hireling. And you'll hear that language out there. Here's where it comes from. Being an hireling. He's there for the money. I had, and I can't make these things up. I don't need to make things up. I've lived long enough and done enough. I've got plenty of stories that are factual. This pastor's in the store. He's just right to the left as you come out of my office. And I got to talking with him a little bit. And he said, well, I wouldn't bother being a pastor if it weren't for the 401k.
Wow.
I thought, what a testimony of serving the Savior. Mm-hmm. I've hardly ever heard the like.
Yeah.
I've met, I want to say scores, it's probably more like hundreds of pastors. And the number of saved ones you could put in a Greyhound bus and have room for the Baltimore Ravens. John chapter 10, the abundant life. There are hirelings in our dispensation. There are men with a pastor's, may I say, heart. But these verses are not about them. These verses are Jesus speaking about the future kingdom. He does that also in Matthew chapter 19, in verse 29. He says that everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. My everlasting life isn't an inheritance. Rather, it is by the imputation. It is by the gospel of the grace of God. But note here, you forsake these things and you receive an hundredfold. Now, who do you know in the Christian quote-unquote business that forsakes stuff and makes a show of it? So you know they've forsaken their life and taken a vow of poverty. They're the ones who live in poverty. The opposite of what this verse says should happen. They should get an hundredfold. So they're wrong twice. Roman Catholicism has a knack for that, do they not?
Yes.
Taking that vow of poverty. By the way, any Protestant, Baptist, pastor pays income tax. No Roman Catholic priest pays income tax. Part of them becoming a priest is involved in they being citizens of the Vatican. They are not citizens of the United States of America. They don't pay income tax. And yet they're out there politically, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Just a strange anomaly. I marvel every time in the morning we drive down Dayton's Enie Road in beautiful Beaver Creek, Ohio. There are the taxpayer-purchased school buses with hundreds of children going to St. Luke's on North Fairfield. Why is it Rome gets your buses, separation of church and state? You're kidding yourself. Mm-hmm. The application of laws is in the hands of lawyers. I don't know any of that group that I'd particularly trust much. It's just weird. Well, I'm getting off point. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, you see the times of refreshing. And when that happens, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, when that happens, then they have the fulfillment of that which has been given by all the prophets from Samuel. You see that long about verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant. You and I, we're not the children of the prophets. We're not of the covenant which God made with. They're not our fathers. Abraham wasn't our daddy. So it's, again, amazing that people will read these passages and say, well, that's us now.
Yeah.
On what authority do you say that?
Nope.
You don't have any scriptural authority to say that. But scripture doesn't mean much anymore. For the last 3 days, in the Dayton Daily Snooze, there's been a bunch of responses to a Methodist fella who wrote about how all Christians should be vegans because you shouldn't kill critters. And so somebody will grab a verse from Genesis 9 and say, well, God gave them to us to eat. And somebody will grab a verse from someplace else and proof texting to advance their agendas. A lot of that goes on. It's amazing, I think, that folks take the position of being Israel, the children of the prophets, the children of Abraham, when they absolutely, demonstrably are not. And in thy seed, Acts chapter 3, verse 25, shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Do you see that verse and the significance of verse 25? Because what that verse does is it updates Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, and puts it right here on the people of Pentecost, right here on Peter's little flock. You're nodding, so you see it.
Yes.
Then the next step you need to see, you no doubt do, is that's who the church thinks it is. That's who the body of Christ thinks it is. So then how shocking would it be that in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, since that has as a sound cross-reference Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, yeah. that you'd have government administration after administration after administration thinking that we got to be good to Israel. Stunning. When you're Pauline, so many of the dominoes stand up and fall in a different direction from where you thought they'd fallen. So many things change. Your worldview, your perspective, your ability to discern things is amazingly improved by being Pauline. You're less likely to be duped, less likely to be fooled. You're less likely to get into a siege mentality or flip it over the converse of a rah-rah, we're bringing in America to Jesus. You're less likely to fall for that kind of stuff because you're Pauline rather than Kingdom Israel. And that's what John 10 and Matthew 19 and Acts 3 are all about.
Amen.
They're all about Kingdom Israel. Now, wouldn't I like the abundant life? I would have been very pleased at 4:45 this morning to have said, Jeeves, turn on the heater on the driveway and melt the snow for me. Or Jeeves, go out there and blow the snow for me. I got to do it. Who's Jeeves after all? I know that in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That verse says, I can look forward to the sufferings of this present time.
Yes.
The good news is, when you really, 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 really suffer, you can't compare that. It's going to be really, 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 really glory. It's going to be wonderful. It'll be greater later when you get there. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the present time in which we live, is not the time of the abundant life.
No.
The present time in which we live is not the time of kingdom blessings.
No.
We are not inheritors of the covenants and promises of Abram. So, things are very different now. Now, I am a trophy of God's grace.
Yes.
And my life, it's hard to say and to have this understood. My life is meaningless and has been for a long time. It's what I declare about the Lord, how I teach His book, that's going to make any difference whatsoever. My life, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, is supposed to have been sublimated to His life a long time ago. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My life should be increasingly disappearing. That according to Colossians chapter 3, in verse 3. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is a very stout verse that I'm crucified with Christ. It's a present possessive I am. The I am crucified with Christ. So the I am, He's the great I am, and I'm in Him.
Amen.
So it's not about me, it's about the I am. And the I am ain't me, it's me in the crucified, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's good news. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and I walked according to the course of this world, according to Ephesians chapter 2, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And now, by God's grace, He has raised me up together to sit with Christ in heavenly places. That's judicially verse 6. That in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. I have better than the Lombardi Trophy. I have better than getting into Canton in the Hall of Fame. I have a position complete in my Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Did I say not of works?
Yes.
Not baptism, not confessing with your mouth. Not of works. Having trusted the finished work of the risen Savior. Now that I'm saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I am now, he's telling me this, I wouldn't have known it. I couldn't look in the mirror and figure this out. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, function unto good works. What kind of good works? Selling Girl Scout cookies? Those good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Then I need to search the scriptures to find out what good works might be, because that's what I'm ordained to. I don't need a certificate for this. I need Ephesians 2:10 to know that God hath before ordained me to do these good works. Amen. I would start with that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes. That'll keep you busy for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. So, rather than being living the abundant life, and almost every television ministry teaches the abundant life for Christians, and I'm not saying just the crazy people, the Pat Robertsons and the Benny Hinns and the Joyce Meyers and those people, but you'll hear this same kind of thing from the Charles Stanleys and the John MacArthurs and all of this kind of stuff about how good life's going to be. Somebody gets saved and they have then deleterious circumstances. They may doubt their salvation. They may doubt the existence of God at that point. So giving people a wrong view about it's the abundant life for you, brother, now that you're saved, it's the abundant life, might not work out. There was a fellow with the same first name as I have, and he came, it may be at my invite, I'm not sure, but he came to some meetings at the church I was attending, and on Salem Avenue, my store was at 4640, and his store was a main auto parts at 3850. And his name, same as mine, and he came to this meeting that I was attending, and he got saved. By all appearances, by everything you can hear of a man's testimony, he understood Christ died for his sins. So, we're close. We're pretty near neighbors, about a mile on Salem Avenue. So, after work, every once in a while, I drop in. Jerry, how you doing? Make sure he's... Well... Worst thing I could ask him was how he was doing.
Yeah.
He didn't get the abundant life. He went home. He's cleaning the house. There goes the Budweiser. There goes the dirty books. There goes the porno. There goes... His wife's out of there. She is so gone. So, I thought things would get better. This poor jerk is... Bless his heart, he's been mistaught, given the wrong idea.
Yeah.
His wife, she gets a saved husband. That ain't what she signed up for. She's a party girl. She's gone. It would have been a lot easier dealing with this young man had he known that the abundant life belonged to somebody else. And you're appointed to suffering.
Yeah.
Get over it. Get used to it.
Yeah.
The suffering that is involved in our life is because we live on a sin-cursed earth. Satan's the god of this world. We just briefly looked at that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. He's the prince of the power of the air. He set the course for things. I put on my blog a couple days ago that today America goes to its church.
Yes.
And 30, 40, 50, I don't know, 100 million Americans will all bow down to their high-definition altar.
Yes.
And root for one team or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And when the football, the object of their adulation, gets into the Holy of Holies, the end zone,
mm-hmm.
they'll all pray, "Oh, my God." America goes to his church.
Yeah.
The same people that put up a tree in December are now gathering around their Anheuser-Busch. It's a sin-cursed world.
Yeah.
The Christians think you're too extreme when you talk like I just did for the last couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody lives like that. You've made my point.
Yeah.
We're here to glorify God, and we do that as crucified vessels. We do that as students who study to show themselves approved unto God. We do that as ambassadors. We don't go around as sheep. I'm going to say Christianity is way too sheepish.
Yes.
And ought to actually stand up for something. The Southern Baptists right now are fixing to get in trouble because they took the bold stand that the Boy Scouts ought to be for boys. Let's see, it's called Boy Scouts. It's not transvestite scouts. It's not homosexual scouts. It's called Boy Scouts. So now you want to put homosexual scout leaders in there? You want to put, really? And the Southern Baptists are going to catch it in the neck?
Oh, yeah.
They are going to be vilified and ridiculed. It's on the front page of today's Dayton Daily News in the bottom, in the middle. It's called Boy Scouts. I would expect there to be boys.
Yeah.
Not weirdos. Not misfits. Weirdos and misfits. Can I say that without lightning coming down? Yes, I absolutely can. And a lot more people ought to.
Yes.
I would love it if we could have on what better program than Ellen? Let's have Ellen with a couple of Barbie dolls. Now, Ellen, show us just what exactly activities do you folks engage in? Let everybody see. Get a couple of Ken dolls. Animatronically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let everybody... Oh, no! It's in the privacy. You're hiding from truth.
Yes.
I think Oprah ought to show abortions on her network. If she'd like to put an end to her network, that'd probably do it quicker than anything. But let people see.
Yes.
Oh, it's a vacuum. It's going where? What's coming out? Really? We hide things so the society never has to address them, never has to look at those things. Stand up and be counted. They're Boy Scouts. Well, our job is to... Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Our job is to make information known.
Yes.
I remember I was at the, I think it was the Dark County Fair. And we had a gospel tent. And one of the guys that helped me put up the tent, there was a half a dozen guys doing that. When it came time to do the work, stand out there in front of the tent, "Hi, ma'am, I'd like to give you something today. Would you please read this and think about it? And I'd love your feedback." That was a good thing to do with gospel tracts.
Yeah.
"I want to give you something. I'm not forcing this down your throat. This is what you need. I'd like you to consider this and feedback to me. Let me know what you think about that." And I'm passing out tracts by the scores, hundreds. And this guy standing back there, he's watching. He'd never passed out a tract in his life. He's kind of a shy guy. He finally thought, "Well, if that old fool can do it, I'm a young fool, I can do it." That was Brother Bob Williams. And he came out from behind the tent. And he passed out his first tract. Sometimes being over the top has that backwash residue effect. I'd love it if anybody were over the top for the Lord in the marketplace of ideas.
Yes.
And not coming in cowardly, tiring to tolerate sinfulness in making things look as if they're acceptable when they're not, and doing all of this remodeling of political correctness.
Yes.
It's wrong for the Boy Scouts to be forced to admit homosexuals.
Absolutely.
It's their outfit. They can do as they jolly well please. 6 months ago, they took a stand.
Yeah.
On the other foot.
Yeah.
Homosexuality, folks, it's a curse. Romans 1 couldn't be any more clear. Forget about Leviticus. Why is it with the scandal in the Roman Catholic Church, nobody ever uses the word homosexual? Those priests are always after boys.
Yeah.
Why am I the only one that seems to have ever said that? I've never heard that. Have you ever heard that from anybody?
No. No. It's just the abuse.
Aren't there girls that go to Roman Catholic churches?
Yeah.
Near as I know, it's 100% boys. That's homosexual activity, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Elton John and his paramour just got their second adopted
boy.
What am I missing here? Why are there 300 million blind people in this country as it goes to hell in a handcart, in debauchery, in sinfulness, in depravity, in disgusting behavior? Well, we need to love. Really. We have the idea that glorifying God is to do Matthew chapter 25 and put up with everything and anybody.
Yeah.
We live in a dispensation, folks, where there's war going on. Sergeant Alvin York. Pretty good shot. Picking off Germans. Captured 132 Germans with Alvin and seven other guys, and marched 132 men dropped their pistols, dropped their rifles to eight guys. And Alvin marched them to the prisoner of war camp, which is any number of miles away. Alvin, seven guys, 132 Germans, including two officers. And he got the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he got kissed by a Frenchman, and got the Legion of Honor from France. Heaven only knows what a few fired up Christians could do.
Amen.
Because a lot of people, when they really don't know what they're doing, they'll lay down their arms. Christianity has given up on the marketplace of ideas and has absolutely no impact upon the on the marketplace of ideas unless it's playing a game that they want us to play. The lose weight game. That kind of business. The fix the global warming game. Churches with humongous investments in 401ks and retirement programs for their people. I'm talking the huge denominations with millions and millions of dollars. Came together and determined they will not support in their 401k any organization that makes guns. So they're going to undermine Smith & Wesson. By the way, Smith & Wesson sales are through the roof.
Yes.
I talked to my gun dealer a week and a half ago, and he said to me, "This president's the best thing ever happened to the gun business." That's the law of unintended consequences. Yes. That's cash for clunkers one more time.
Yes. Oh, I didn't know that was going to squirt out over there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to be a burr under the devil's saddle blanket.
Amen.
And make his horse just as cantankerous, and hopefully he gets thrown off every once in a while. That's our job, to be ambassadors. We're here to make a difference. And this business of not being willing to declare God's truth. Terry's truth and God's truth are not always the same thing. So I don't get real strong with my personal opinion. Well, you say I do, but I'd like to think they're Bible-based. I'd like to think they're rightly divided. And in conclusion, I'm not bringing in the kingdom. I'm not a shining city on a hill. I read over 100 sermons from the late 1700s and early 1800s, and it's stunning how sermon after sermon after sermon preached in this country, even by the George Whitfields and the Comet Cotton Mathers and some of the Jonathan Edwards, the big names, were all about, we're Israel and God's going to make us win the revolution.
Yeah.
My worldview is so different because I'm standing with Paul, and I am not attempting to maximize in my thinking that which God has minimized or done away with entirely. Rather, I'm learning day by day and bit by bit that I live in Galatians 1:4, a present evil world, that I need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil, and I'm not here to rule the world. I'm not here to provide kingdom thinking. I'm here rather that a soul would be saved, that a saint would be edified, and to stand against the devilish incursions that are so common in our day. My home's heavenly places. I look forward to that.
Amen.
I know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, long about verses 45 to 48, I'm going to put off this corruption. I'm going to put on incorruption. I'll no longer have a celestial body, a terrestrial body. I've got it backwards. I'll be upstairs with a celestial body.
Amen.
I love the folks. I'm being sarcastic. Who believe in theistic evolution. That God did the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. And then God put all the chemicals in place. And God put the heat and cold in place. And God worked all the molecules together so that then you've got yourself an amoeba and a protozoa. And then God did this so that after a while, here we are. We're God's creation, but we evolved. Ask those people what they expect to happen to them when they die. The church-going folks, theistic evolutionists. Well, I'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. What happened to evolution?
Yes.
How long is the moment going to be for you? A million, billion, quadrillion years?
Yes. Good question.
It's hilarious. Our conversation, our lifestyle, what we care about is in heaven.
Yes.
From whence we look for the Savior, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, V-I-L-E, vilified, disgusting. Don't bathe for about a week and you lose the three friends you got.
Mm-hmm.
that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I don't know how that works, but I'm counting on it. I don't know the mechanics of it. Will I have hair, or will you all be bald like me? I know it says in the hymn, there'll be no parting there. That would indicate there's no hair, right? Or is it the other kind of parting? Well, so I'm at liberty to be a troublemaker for Jesus. This life we now live, it's not our life, it's his. Yes. That's the point of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Jesus in his earthly ministry ridiculed people, insulted people, called people names, hit after people. Is Matthew 23 in your Bible? Is John 6 in your Bible? They were enemies of the kingdom that he was presenting to Israel. Stop by McDonald's, and when the clerk says, "How may I help you today?" you say, "Oh, generation of vipers, who hath bewitched you?" When she spits on your sandwich, you'll know that wasn't the best thing to do. But Jesus is not the politically correct carpenter's son who never said anything in his life as people now portray him. He wasn't that way at all. People want us to be like Jesus without knowing what he was like.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, would have me to equip myself as a good soldier, would have me to follow a Pauline pattern where Paul rebuked Peter to his face, Paul fired Barnabas, Paul chewed out Hymenaeus, Philetus, and others. I've always wanted to be a Bible Christian. As soon as I knew that I was saved and knew that the Bible mattered, when I learned how to rightly divide, that really, really pinned it down for me. When Jesus says, "Ye blind guides," he wasn't complimenting anybody.
No.
When he says, "Thou blind Pharisee," he wasn't complimenting anybody. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," he wasn't complimenting anybody. "You are of your father the devil," he wasn't complimenting anybody. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers," he wasn't complimenting anybody. And those are all in Matthew 23, the most avoided chapter in the Gospels. I like Matthew 6 better. Blessed be the peacemaker, Matthew 5. I know. That's precisely the problem. So, get equipped as a good soldier. Put on the armor of Ephesians chapter 6. And as best you're able, in the sphere of influence that you have, do all that you do for his glory.
Amen.
We'll stop there.